Nothing says I care like turning every problem into a story about themselves. You're listening to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast.
Hey there, learner. You sent in this this quote about knowledge and wisdom, and it really hit home when I saw it next to your request for a deep dive on narcissistic abuse. Knowledge is learning something new every day. Wisdom is letting go of something every day.
It's profound, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that resonates so deeply with this topic. Because, you see, it's one thing to, you know, read about narcissistic behavior, maybe even recognize it in a relationship.
Right.
But then there's this whole other layer of letting go that needs to happen
mm-hmm.
for real healing.
Okay, yeah, let's unpack that. Because I think I can already feel the weight of this topic, even just starting. So what I'm hearing is knowledge alone. It's not enough. Like, I can read a book about gaslighting. I can even point to it when it's happening, you know?
Yeah.
But until I can let go of that desperate need to prove my reality, to prove myself right to the narcissist, I'm still stuck, aren't I?
Exactly. It's in the letting go. It's in that release that we finally find the wisdom to move forward and,
mm-hmm.
and the freedom, really, to stop explaining, to stop justifying it, and to start prioritizing our own well-being.
So then when we talk about letting go in these situations, in these relationships, what are we trying to release?
Well, it's multifaceted. I mean, it's letting go of the lies, first of all, the lies we've been told, that we're not enough, that our needs are an inconvenience, that we have some magical power to change them.
It's letting go of the fantasy.
Yeah.
Of the normal relationship, the loving relationship. That, let's be honest, probably never really existed.
Right. And we get so conditioned, don't we?
We do.
To think that love means enduring. Enduring any and all behavior. But you've hit on something really important. With narcissistic abuse, we're not talking about just bad behavior.
Right.
It's not just that they're being difficult. This is a pattern. It's calculated. It's a whole system of manipulation.
Absolutely.
Designed to.
And sometimes letting go means choosing ourselves, even when it feels wrong, even when it feels deeply unnatural.
You're so right. And here's where it gets even more complex, because we internalize these narratives.
Like we do.
We start to believe the narcissist's version of reality, mm-hmm. those constant criticisms, the gaslighting. It's like it warps our perception of ourselves, like looking in a distorted mirror day after day.
So it's not even them telling us these things anymore. It's us believing it, owning it as our truth. That's heavy. And it makes me wonder why. Why can't they just change? I mean, we always hear people can change.
Right, right. And while, you know, our personalities are more flexible than we sometimes give them credit for, narcissistic personalities, they tend to be much more rigid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like their internal wiring, their emotional development. It's what we call maladaptive.
Maladaptive. So it's not a choice.
It's more nuanced than that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less about them consciously choosing this and more about these ingrained patterns
mm-hmm.
of thinking
mm-hmm.
and behaving.
Mm.
That are so deeply rooted, they're very difficult to alter. Imagine asking an extreme introvert to suddenly become the life of the party.
Right.
It goes against their very nature, right?
Yeah.
It's similar with narcissists. But instead of social anxieties, their patterns, they revolve around control, admiration, a need to be seen a certain way.
Okay, so that actually makes it feel a little less personal for the person on the receiving end, you know? Like, mm-hmm. it's not me, it's the wiring. Still really tough to deal with, obviously, but...
Oh, absolutely. And to make it even more challenging, narcissists are often incentivized to stay the same. Think about it. Their manipulative behavior, a lot of times it's rewarded, right? They get what they want, whether it's attention or power or control.
Right.
So breaking those patterns, those deeply ingrained patterns, it becomes even more unlikely.
Wow. Yeah, okay. You're right. It's about understanding the why, the how, the mechanics of it all. But how do we, as individuals who have been in these relationships, where do we even begin to unpack all of this? Especially when there's this feeling, this lingering feeling that we are somehow to blame.
And that right there, that feeling of being the bad guy, that is one of the hallmarks, really, of this narcissistic abuse cycle.
Yeah.
And it speaks to the insidious nature of something called trauma bonding.
Trauma bonding. I feel like that's a phrase we hear a lot. But what does that actually mean for someone who might be listening, who might be recognizing these patterns?
Okay, so imagine this for a moment. You're walking on eggshells, right?
Yeah.
Never quite knowing when the next outburst is going to come or the next criticism. But then there are these moments, these little glimpses of warmth, of affection, and suddenly you feel seen again, loved.
Those little crumbs of hope, right?
Exactly. But those crumbs, as small as they may be, they become like your lifeline.
Yeah.
Because your brain, it's wired for connection, right? And right. so it seeks out those moments, those validations, and it actually literally becomes chemically hooked on this inconsistent reinforcement. That's trauma bonding.
So even when we know logically that something is wrong, our own biology is working against us.
It is.
Making us crave those crumbs from the narcissist. It's like being caught in a spider web almost, right? The more you struggle, the more entangled you become.
It's a powerful, powerful force. And it makes it so much harder to break free even when the relationship has become unbearable. And here's where that feeling of I'm the bad guy really takes root, because narcissists, they are masters of manipulation. They twist the narrative and they make you doubt your own perceptions, your own sanity. They might say things like, you're too sensitive, or you made me do this.
Ugh. It's like they can just flip that script on you just like that.
Right.
You're the one who's hurting, but suddenly you find yourself apologizing. You're the one trying to make it right.
Right. And your empathy, which is a beautiful thing, your compassion, it becomes a weapon that's used against you. You end up blaming yourself, questioning your worth, maybe even defending their behavior to other people. It's a vicious, vicious cycle.
And even when you do find the strength to walk away, that self-blame, it lingers, doesn't it?
It does.
It's that voice in the back of your head saying, why did I put up with that for so long? What's wrong with me?
Yes. And that's exactly where radical acceptance becomes so important. And it's not about saying what they did was okay or condoning their behavior, but it's about acknowledging the reality of the situation, accepting that you were in a relationship dynamic that was unhealthy, imbalanced.
So you're saying it's about releasing those what ifs and if onlys that keep us stuck in that past?
Yeah, absolutely. Radical acceptance is about recognizing that you did the best you could with the knowledge that you had at the time, with the resources you had at the time, and letting go of this impossible burden of trying to change or fix someone who's unwilling and often unable to change themselves.
But I imagine that's a process, right? It's not like you just wake up one morning and bang, radical acceptance, you've got it.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a journey. And it involves grieving. Mm-hmm. Grieving the loss of the relationship you thought you had, the future that you envisioned with this person, and maybe even grieving parts of yourself that you had to suppress or deny in that relationship.
Which kind of leads to the question, for those who are listening who are still grappling with all of this, the self-blame, yearning for things to be different, for it to have been different, where do they even begin? Where do they begin to find that acceptance?
It starts with awareness.
Yeah.
You know, recognizing the patterns that we've been talking about, understanding that setting boundaries and disengaging and prioritizing your own needs, that is not selfish. That is self-preservation.
Right. Which is so hard because we're taught, right, to be good, to be loving means we put up with bad behavior.
And that could not be further from the truth. Choosing yourself, protecting your well-being, that is not bad. It is essential. And sometimes it's the most courageous, the most loving act that you can take.
Okay, so we've talked about letting go, right? Recognizing trauma bonds and the idea of radical acceptance. But I think, you know, a question a lot of people have after going through these kinds of experiences, what about finding meaning, purpose? Like, is that required for healing? Do we have to find meaning in it all?
Well, you know, meaning and purpose can be incredibly powerful tools in healing. But I think the key here is it's not just about what we do. It's about how we live. Mm. It's about kind of consciously choosing to shift our perspective.
Okay.
To see ourselves not as victims in this whole thing, but as survivors.
Yeah, it's a subtle shift, but I imagine it's pretty crucial, huh? It's about recognizing, hey, my entire life is not defined by this abuse. I'm not defined by the narcissist's version of me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And often I think that involves sort of rediscovering the things, the simple joys that maybe got overshadowed by the, you know, the weight of the relationship.
Yeah.
You know, those things that bring us genuine happiness, that make us feel connected.
So it's almost like connecting back to those core elements of ourselves that had to be, I don't know, suppressed or minimized, right?
Exactly.
Or those parts of us that maybe the narcissist really tried to erase or belittle, we reclaim those for ourselves.
And remembering that self-compassion is so essential here, right? Like, be kind to yourself, allow yourself to experience joy. It's okay to feel happy, to experience the full spectrum of human emotions, even the good ones.
That is really, really powerful, to allow ourselves to experience joy, to recognize that it's a valid, even an essential part of healing.
It's not about ignoring the pain. or pretending it didn't happen. It's about honoring the strength it took to survive that, to break free and rebuild on our own terms.
This has been quite a deep dive, learner. And, you know, it's not a quick fix. It's a process. But if anything, I hope this has been a reminder that you're not alone. And that path to healing, it's always open.
You are a survivor. Remember that. You are strong. And you deserve to be happy.
So as always, we want to hear from you. What stood out to you? What questions are you asking yourself now? Keep exploring these ideas, learner, and find your own path to healing, your own freedom. And that's a wrap for today. Remember, there's always more to learn. We'll be back next time with another stack of sources and a brand new deep dive.
Thanks for listening to the Narcissist Survivor Society podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow us on TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook for more. And remember, the best revenge is living well without them.